Hello everyone, welcome to the Chapman Game Week 10 preview pod. Sorry it's taken me a while to do it this week. I've had other things going on in real life, and nothing bad, don't worry. People say that, it usually sounds like something bad going on. Been my birthday, so that and work, haven't really had time to sit down and do it, but here we are, we're going to get it done. I can't even remember much what happened of last week, because it's been too long. My brain can't process that information. It's long gone now. There's only so much that can fit in, so I won't bother talking about it. We'll crack on. The idea is to talk a little bit at the end about wildcard, because I'm on a wildcard, but I'm conscious. Well, I'm probably on a wildcard. I don't know for sure yet, but I'm conscious not everyone listening will be on a wildcard, so I don't want to waste anyone's time there. And the idea of these pods was to keep them short, so, and always to be obviously this particular game week's preview. So that's what I'm going to continue to do. I'm going to make the preview a little bit quicker if I can, and then add that little bit of wild card on the end rather than waste anyone else's time. But just a general view of my last week, it was okay, it was fine. You know, it wasn't anything spectacular, but it did the job. Pretty happy overall. Shearer, I wish he'd got more, but everyone had him as captain, I think, in the end, so it wouldn't have made much of a difference. But yeah, nothing really else to report. So let's move on. Leeds and Aston Villa is the first game on the Gaffer website, right at the top, so that's where we're going to start. This week, of course, I've got the benefit of having seen some of the sim data and also have the leak information and injury information, so a little bit more informed than usual. But I try to just keep it to my own thoughts and not let that influence me too much, if that makes sense. So Leeds and Villa, great game on paper for Leeds. Villa, as regular listeners will know, and people who are just heavily into the game, Villa, when they're away to the big sides, they play a crazy defensive formation. Don't even bother to attack. So you always have to go with what makes sense on paper. So that would be a Leeds clean sheet, and Leeds probably scoring two or three goals, because they're, you know, top two side in the game and they usually score goals. I've had Viduka for the last couple of weeks. He's blanked, I think, two or three weeks in a row for a lot of money. But doesn't change a thing for me. He's obviously a great pick here, a great captain here. And because Larsson is injured and it's a home match where they should have the attacking arrow on the AMC and the double length attacking arrows on the wing backs, you can be pretty confident about the team, assuming there's not, you know, rep. There is always a little bit of rotation in Leeds anyway, and I can't see there being rep given Villa are reasonably high. So for example, you could say with quite a lot of confidence that Singh should play the left wing back role because of the double up arrows. It's not certain, but pretty sure. You can say unless Alan Smith makes a random appearance, which can happen, but that can always happen, that Robbie Keane should be up front with Viduka and Harry Kewell should be in the AMC slot. Because of that up arrow, and Aymar will be in centre midfield, probably alongside Boya, who's the most nailed of the centre midfielders. So a very attacking lineup. Kewell scored a hat-trick last time he was in this role. Robbie Keane did very well as the forward as well. I think Makoku said that when he simmed that particular thing in previously, or at least Keane up front, he does fantastic as a striker, which doesn't surprise me because his attributes are mental, really good. So yeah, Keane, Viduka, Kewell, Aymar, Boya, all great options. Singh's probably a good option. The defenders are probably going to get a clean sheet. All great options this week. Kelly, the defence rotates a little bit, so you're probably safest with Rio, but the other ones are good as well, if you can get the right one. But yeah, good picks. Obviously Villa, it's not a good week to have them, but Hendry at 6 million, you know, can you play him over someone else who's crap? Yeah, absolutely. Why not? Watford and Everton, I'm not going to spend too much time on this. We all know about Watford. It's just probably a chaos game. That's pretty much it. It's under the bracket of chaos. If you'd like a piece of it, then obviously look at buying them, or if you've got them, just play them. Petkoff, Pitcher is looking good, considering Watford have got so many injuries in centre midfield. I think Valencia was leaked to starting, so that's one. So you've got Petkoff and Valencia, and then one other spot. So Pitcher's not completely now, because now only one other spot for him, probably. And I've got other people there, but I'd imagine he's playing. And he takes some set pieces away from Petkoff, which is annoying. So the week I bought him, Petkoff did well, but the next 2 weeks he's done pretty bad. And like I say, I'm on wild card. So it's a game where, I don't know, it feels like it could backfire, actually, if I do wild card and remove Petkoff, because he could do absolutely wicked in this game, as could Pitcher, etc. But anyway, obviously, if you want a piece of the chaos, you get involved there. Tommy Smith, even though he's been dog shit, I wouldn't want to remove him for this game. I saw someone on Discord saying I'm going to remove him because he's been shit. I mean, doesn't really mean anything to me. It's a good game. You're asking for possible pain there. And Everton are probably going to score, aren't they? So the likely lad's Christie's top goal scorer, isn't he? So he's obviously a likely lad. And Titov has obviously looked pretty good as well. So lots of good options there. Wing-backs, as usual, seem to be heavily involved when fit and playing. Norwich and Middlesbrough. It's a bit of a tricky game, really, because obviously Norwich at home and Middlesbrough away. It's a tight one to call. I think Middlesbrough will probably edge it just because they're just a much better team. But it won't be, I wouldn't have thought it would be a massive score either way. You know, it could easily be 1-1, maybe 2-1 Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough have got a decent run, though, that I like a lot of their games, which we'll talk about at the end. For the majority of them, I like them anyway. So if you're on wild card or you're looking to just move into the beginning of their decent run, you can kind of count this game a little bit as it, and you never know, you could get lucky and they just win 3-0 or something. So the obvious names there for Middlesbrough, really, it's the centre-backs, Atherton, Boxic and Rickard. I wouldn't worry about Selakovic. I think he's going to be centre midfield like he was last week. Johnston and Zepeda are still good. I think all their assets are pretty much the same. I don't think much has changed with the addition of Selakovic. Maybe one of those names misses out on one extra game a season because Selakovic does get rotated and as to a centre forward or a right wing or whatever, but it's not enough to worry about for me, and he's not an option if he's playing in centre midfield. So I say crack on there. Manchester United and Bradford. Obviously a good game for Man United. I'd be surprised if Bradford score. So that makes the defenders good. Silvestre was one I was tempted to pay the extra on of wildcard in over Ekiog, but he's injured, so that's out the window. So Ekiog's the safest option at the back. We should talk about the leak, really. The leak says Scholes is up front. Now, it's tricky to gauge the leakers and what they're thinking behind all this stuff, so I'll ignore that for now. Scholes playing isn't completely alien. Like, he's a good player in the game. He has like 10 for midfield centre, which means he barely gets a game in the midfield. You have to have at least 15 for it to show on your I think he has 10 anyway, someone can correct me. He's either 10 or 15 he's got, but anyway, he's got quite a low rating for centre midfield, and that's why he doesn't really get to play in centre midfield. And then he's not the best of the striker either. He's like 17 or something, and when you've got Van Nistelrooy and York who are 20, he's not going to play there either, and then they don't really play an AMC. So often when they do have to play Scholes, they drop one of the forwards and he becomes that drop forward like the Bergkamp thing to make a role for him almost. So they're saying Scholes is playing up front, so that's basically York out, I would say, straight away. It could be a full rep, or like it was recently, not pure kids, but the middle level. It could be a partial, because, you know, Scholes isn't in their first team. But also, Scholes does swap out for York every now and then. York's not, like, totally nailed. They're both pretty equal in terms of their ability. It's just the position rating, like I say, that kind of holds Scholes back. There's also the fact that Scholes has been injured for a long, long time, has not played a single game, and we had pre-season. So we know, we talk about early season shenanigans at the beginning where the game's got a counter in the background. And if you go into the editor, you'll see how many games someone has played in a row or missed in a row. And you've got to remember now that Scholes is going to be really high. It's not smart enough to factor in pre-season, you know, and that's why it causes all those issues at the beginning of the season for me. This is all theory, by the way. None of this is confirmed by anyone. It's just what I think happens. I think I've seen snippets of it and stuff over the years looking at the forums, but a lot of it is also theory, so don't take it for absolute fact. But I think that goes some way to explain the shenanigans and why would they have the counter in the game if it wasn't used for anything. So Scholes hasn't played a game for ages. He's been injured for like all of the weeks until now as well. So for me, this is the AR giving Scholes a game, and I would bet therefore that the rest of the team is full strength. But it might not be, is the bottom line, when we're never going to know that. I don't think it should put you off if you have those players in your team. I've seen people say, I'm not going to captain Van Nistelrooy now. Well, if you were going to captain Van Nistelrooy, I would still do that, because he's either going to play or not, most likely. Yes, there is a scenario. I have seen him occasionally, very, very occasionally, be benched and maybe come on. It's incredibly rare, though. So I wouldn't worry about that. If you think he's the best captain this week, then pick him. The argument for me is Viduka is equal to him probably this week anyway. So it's up, you know, I think either one of those two is absolutely great. Captain and vice captain, I still think is absolutely fine. Put your emergency somewhere else. I don't see a problem with it personally. And like I say, I actually think they're probably going to play. If they don't, the run for Man United's great now. Especially if you're on wild card, you can have some decent benches as well. So it is what it is. I think the risk is more not having the players and they win 3 or 4 nil and you beat yourself up because you thought, oh, they might rotate and I'm not going to pick them, and then they go crazy. I think that's the worst case scenario than having them, they don't play, and then you can compensate on your bench. Now, if you're not on wildcard and you're taking hits to get these people in, I think it's a different conversation. Yes, that's for you to decide as an individual. Like I say, I think they're going to play, but it's not guaranteed. You could foreseeably take minus fours, minus eights, bring them in, and then them not play. But I suppose you have to look at it of, well, it's a long period of time to have them in the team. It's restructuring, everything else. So I wouldn't let it put you off. If I then talk about the leakers themselves and what we can take from that, they say they're going to give us one name and they give us Scholes. Now, in the past, remember, their overriding arc here has been to try and help players to play the game. It's not fun for no one to have any of their players play all the time. And they've been very good, I think, so far, giving clues to, especially the more clued in players. Like Murrayhead very much suggests this team reps. Scholes might suggest some rotation. It doesn't suggest the whole team reps. So I think if they looked at that team and it was literally, you know, Murrayhead, Weber, Jordich and stuff like that, and they give one name, you'll see John O'Shea or one of those guys pop up, and that says to us, okay, this is probably going to be rep. That's the way I look at that. You know, if they've changed their tune, if after this week, Scholes, they say that and then the whole team's repped, maybe I can then take that information and from now on I can use it and say, okay, I can't trust what they're going to be saying for that sort of thing anymore. But like I say, I don't think their aim is to try and negatively affect the player's experience. So that's my thoughts there. Liverpool versus Blackburn. This is probably a pretty good game for Liverpool. You know, they've now got their first choice back four back, it seems, with Bishkan and Hippier playing. So it's a great game for Hippier. You know, if you're on wild card for a one-weeker, this game looks like a game where Hippier could easily just get a clean sheet, goal, man of the match, everything. So it's a decent game for him. Blackburn assets. Yeah, I wouldn't particularly want to play them in this week. I've seen people got Duff and stuff and they're sort of putting him in their first team. He's probably going to get 2 points, is the bottom line. I mean, they could do okay. Blackburn are an all right side, but it's not an ideal game for their assets, this one, is it? I won't spend any more time there. Chelsea and Ipswich. Okay, so we're aided here a little bit by the leak. It says Berkovic is playing. Now, Berkovic generally, it's not always the case. He can still play in other formations. Usually plays in the formation where they have the two up front, one of them's dipped, a la Bergkamp. They have three in midfield, spaced out, one on the left wing, one on the right wing, one in the very centre on his own, and then flat back five. They play that away to the top sides like they did Arsenal this season a lot, and obviously Chelsea are one of the top sides, very close to the top in terms of the reputation. So that's what that suggests to me. So Ipswich playing that back five away to Chelsea, you know, again, when I talk about clean sheets and stuff, they don't happen often in Champ, but in a game like this, it's looking good for Chelsea for the clean sheet again, isn't it? I think a lot of people got Babiaro, like I have, injured. So if I'm not wildcarding, the most obvious move for me is just to go from him straight to Terry. And, you know, likely that's an 8-pointer there. If they do somehow concede, bonus is always likely as well, as we know with these boys. So 3 or 4-pointer there, that's fine. You take that. Tarico could be on the wing here. You know, it's not an ideal game, and to be honest, although he's a very good wing back, a good player in the game, you think, oh yeah, he's playing further forward, that's better. It's not really that better for him to play on the wing. You know, it's the formation and the setup that affects it. But if you have to play Tarico, which if I don't wildcard I probably will have to, then, you know, it'll be nice if he's a little bit further forward, but, you know, I wouldn't have thought it makes much difference, is the point I'm getting at. It could be a low scorer. Chelsea aren't the biggest scorers in the game. Like, they've been doing well so far, but it doesn't mean they're just going to score every game. It wouldn't be a surprise if this game's 0-0, for example. Also, the fact that the centre midfield area has been vacated usually means they do pretty good on the opposite team. So Petit and Lampard could do well here if you're looking for a one-week punt. I don't really like him long-term. I think Petit's okay long-term, and Lampard has been doing well, so I can understand why people want to do that. But, yeah, just some insight there about the central midfielders probably performing pretty well in this game, if anyone does. Chelsea have also got a really good run as well, so I think a lot of us are still stuck on two or three of their assets since the double game week, so you're obviously going to play them there, and then long term it's looking good to keep them for a while, I think. Spurs and Man City, which is the next game. Yeah, home game for Spurs, so obviously your strikers like Wood, which I think is probably the only Tottenham asset people probably own, maybe Simon Davies, obviously going to start them. Man City, yeah, they're one of the better teams away from home in this game, that are on the weaker side anyway. It's not an easy game to call, but because Spurs are home, I'd say they'd probably win. I wouldn't be surprised if Man City do win it, though, because of the way they set up. And I saw someone benching one chop who's on an orange flag. For me, you just never want to bench your strikers. He played last week. There's no guarantee he plays this week. Just because he played last week, it doesn't mean necessarily anything. He'll still be in that, you know, in that wheel of rotation that goes around. And because he's orange flagged, you know, he's not therefore automatically going to play. But I'd be surprised if he didn't. With him, you've always got the chance he comes off injured, as we know, because he's on an orange flag. But again, I think I'd rather play him, take the one pointer if he does get injured, rather than not play him and see him do anything. Because at the end of the day, a Man City score, so much of the percentage of the team's goals come from their forwards, and one chop's obviously the best player there for scoring goals. So yeah, start him if you've got him, in my opinion. Leicester Arsenal, this is another game to me that screams chaos. You never really know what you're going to get with Leicester, but they are at home, which is obviously big. Arsenal away from home have been absolutely shocking, but they can score goals. It's just another chaos game. This is a similar game to me as Watford Everton potentially. I just think it's just going to be completely random. You know, I have no way to call this. I don't like any of the assets from either teams at the moment personally, so that's just me. I just avoid it in general and see what happens. Yeah, nothing else to say there really. Bolton and Coventry. Now this is obviously a great game for Bolton. Gardner and Pedersen are your main men, as we all know. Bolton started the season terribly, doing absolutely nothing. Their good run started about 3 weeks ago, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, and Pedersen and Gardner have returned every single week since. No surprises really. You know, I think this is when people talk about Champman and having less variance than other fantasy games. This is sort of what highlights it to me. You know, they've been terrible for most of the season. The good run starts, their best players are bought in, and they start performing. It won't always happen, but it happens a damn sight more than in real life. I mean, you can even have the reverse, and I'm only taking a specific example here, and obviously there's numerous ones where it goes the other way, but you know, King and Dennis in real life, they were doing well for Watford, then suddenly Watford get a great run of games, even get more games in doubles. Everyone brings in their players and they do absolutely nothing for the entire period because they're terrible. You know, that happens in real life a lot. In Champman, it's quite rare that you'll bring in a player for a good run, and like I say, they can even have been playing terribly up to that point and it doesn't really make much difference. So this is a great run, and Bolton have a really nice run, but it's, you know, it's basically the home games. Their home games are great, their away games are awful for this run. I think they play like Man United, Leeds, I'll get to it at the end, but they do appeal because of the explosiveness in this game and other games. Pedersen, great captain, vice captain, same as Gardner this week. But those away games are really shocking, where you probably put them down for 2 points. So you really need them to go ham in those home games. Even still, the decent run does continue. Lastly, Sunderland and Newcastle, the derby. This game can be chaos. I've seen it a lot when I was simming myself in season one. Lots of red cards are involved in it, penalties, injuries. It just seems a game for chaos. It's almost like there is a chaos factor in this game for the derbies. There is obviously a big game stat. There's rivalries. A lot of the players have mentioned on the on their stats, like their most disliked players and stuff. All of that is obviously against each other. You know, how much that factors into the game, it's probably not too much. At the end of the day, those are all sort of tiny little pieces of a bigger puzzle, and they're like minor differences. But Kevin Phillips at home for a home fixture where there's likely to be penalties and stuff, he could go mad in this game. You know, in typical style for Phillips, at least in our seasons, he seems to do it in the games you don't expect and not these ones, so maybe that can happen again. But you know, if you ask me which striker I'd like this week outside Viduka and Van Nistelrooy, then obviously Phillips would be right at the top of the list. I think that front three screams out as the best one this week on paper to me. Shearer's fine as well. Like I say, he's got 20 for big games. You know, he likes this fixture usually. Usually like the home team just wins in this. If it was the other way around, Newcastle would win. You know, but because of the red cards and stuff, anything can literally happen. So if you've got Shearer sat in your team, I wouldn't particularly worry about it. I think it's a game he could do fine in. Like I say, Shearer's that guy who just scores all their goals anyway. So he's pretty much, even through tough fixtures, you can just hold Shearer season long if you wanted. It's not really the way people play this game, but holding Shearer season long, I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, I did it with my dead team in season two, and even though he wasn't one of the very top strikers, I think he was like probably 4 or 5 scoring overall just by chipping away all the time. Yeah, he's a really good option. The only downside really here is that Newcastle, I think, I don't know if Dyer's injured or not, but he obviously didn't play last week. In fact, I don't think he's injured, so he's probably going to play. It's more to do with Sunderland's wingers. Arkra and Teal, I think, are both out. So that's going to have a bit of a negative effect on them, a little bit, because they're obviously fantastic players, both of them. They're really good wingers. So it's a bit of a negative. Kilban's probably going to play at left wing. I noticed on the stream they were saying, oh, it could be this person, could be this person. So, I mean, so far, anytime Arkra's missed a game, Kilban's played on the left wing. He didn't sub on because he wasn't on the bench last week, so it's as simple as that. So for me, Kilban's the most likely person to play left wing. He's 4.5, so he could be a decent 1 week punt. Wouldn't do it myself because then it's a problem after that, but I know some people like to do that sort of thing. Graves should just play left back in my opinion, but that's that. Issa and Tome, still good options because home centre backs obviously usually do pretty good. Tome is very likely to get, if anyone's getting a red card though, Tome's there. His aggressiveness is 20, his bravery is 20, so he gets stuck into every challenge going. So bonus or a card is looking very likely, possibly even both with this guy, but he's good fun. Okay, that's a whistle stop tour there. I've tried to smash through that as quick as I can. Not driving this time, just sat outside the athletics club waiting for my daughter, so at least we didn't die whilst recording it, or nearly die. What am I going to say now? Right, let me bring up a screenshot of some of the stats. Let's talk a little bit about wildcard. There's going to be nothing, you know, groundbreaking here. You guys know the score. I'm just going to talk about some of the teams you probably want to target if you're on wildcard. The obvious names straight away are just obviously Leeds and Man United. They're the two best teams in the game. You probably should always have players from them in your team at all times. I know this game is very fixture orientated, but these guys surpass fixtures a lot of the time, and their fixture runs great anyway for both of them. So you probably want to have two or three from both teams in your setup. It's kind of like FPL with, you know, Man City and Liverpool or whatever. You probably want them in your teams at all times, almost regardless. You know, for me, the options you pick from Man United, obviously Silvestre would be there, Ekiel would be there. You've got Chadwick, you've got Varane, you've got Van Nistelrooy. I think you can go York, but obviously this week it's looking like he probably isn't going to play. I don't really like any of the others at all. You know, I know Nedved can do fine when he plays, but I just don't think he's nailed enough for me to consider it. I don't want to spend that much money on a midfielder who doesn't play. If I'm going to spend like 9, 10 million on the midfielder, I want it to be those Carbonis, those Chadwicks, etc., who are going to play like every week at least, because they probably need to play every week to just make sure they're value, because it's a crazy prices for midfielders sometimes. You know, Pedersen at 9.5, you're never going to pick someone over Pedersen who's probably going to get you 15 goals in that spot, of a Nedved who doesn't even score that many goals if he played every week for Man United, I don't think. So yeah, that's what I want to say about that. You know, they're away to Everton, home to Leicester, another great game. These are all rep games, you have to bear in mind, it can happen. The home ones, home to Bolton's a rep game, away to Watford, home to Norwich is a rep game, yeah, away to Sunderland. So still a nice run, could rep in them, but I just think whatever, if they rep, they rep, just take it on the chin. I'd rather be on them than not. Yeah, for Leeds there's probably less options, certainly in the defensive area. I don't think Hart is an option personally, I'd never have. I don't really like their centre backs, even though they get clean sheets, they don't really get bonus, and they do mix and match a bit. I think Ferdinand's probably a bit too expensive. I think Kelly can be bought, he will occasionally drop for Mabry, he's cheap enough and he is in a wing back role, so he can surprise. Bowyer's still going to continue to play the majority of the games at 6.5 million. I still he's just really, really good in this game. We haven't seen the best of him. I know I've banged on about it a lot. The signing of Aimar does taint him slightly, because there is going to be weeks where Aimar and Kuhl play centre midfield and Bowyer drops out. But if you're getting 32 games, you know, I don't think it's going to be a common thing, 32, 31 games from Bowyer, who also takes a piece, you know, of the set pieces. When Hart doesn't play, he can be on corners. I think Aimar can sometimes take them as well now, but he's got high stats for it. He's just so cheap. So I think he's still definitely an option. I think Aimar, although he's not done anything so far, it's only been a couple of weeks, and he is very, very good in this game. He is definitely still an option. Even at midfield centre, I think he's an option. Kuhl, although he's been fantastic the last couple of weeks, I think injuries and stuff have helped him. I think probably out of all the players, Keane and Kuhl are the most affected by Aimar, really. And therefore, although they're both fantastic options this week, long term, I don't really like either of them. Because I think they're, again, players that you need to play right near the top of the 38 games to end up being decent value. And if they're going to miss the odd one, there's just no point spending 8.5 million or 10 million for someone who's not really going to play every now and then. So that's why I rule them out personally. But, you know, in any game they play, obviously top tier. We're robbed of Larsson this week because of the injury. Larsson's been great the whole season. You know, it's Larsson should be more expensive. That's why he appeals so much. He's 2 million less than Viduka. Again, he is going to be slightly affected by the rotation because of the introduction of Aimar. And in any case, he doesn't play as much as Viduka in a season because you've got Smith there. He's more likely to drop out. Occasionally, if Keane goes centre forward, he's more likely to drop out than Viduka, who isn't immune either. You know, you could argue maybe it's worth it to pay that extra millions, extra 2 million, but it goes a long way. So if Larsson was fit, would I be tempted on wildcards to go Larsson over Viduka, especially as he's probably on penalties without Hart? Absolutely, I would be tempted, yeah. And I'll just take it on the chin if he doesn't play, because if he doesn't start or doesn't play, you know, yes, they can come on and be on the bench, but it doesn't happen all that often. So yeah, in any case, he's injured, right? So no one's going to go for him this week. You can, if you've got him in your team, though, by all means, I think you could either bench him, sell for 1 week, and then get back. You can do that. He is still an option, basically, is the overriding point. But Viduka's, obviously, you pay the extra money for that extra security, pretty much. And yeah, he'd be my top Leeds pick by quite a way. Who else do I want to talk about on wildcard? Because those two are the obvious ones. I think Middlesbrough are worth talking about. Away to Norwich, home to Sunderland, good game. Away to Leeds is the bad game in game week 12. That's pretty terrible. Home to Spurs in 13, away to Coventry in 14, home to Blackburn in 15, away to Villa in 16 is not fantastic, but it's okay. Potentially a double in 17. Don't know if that's due to stick, but it's home to Man City, away to Everton. So I like Borough assets again. We all know they've got good players all over the pitch. I'm not going to list them. You know, I already did that in the preview. So I think having a Middlesbrough player is probably a decent idea. Yeah, if I was to pick one, it's probably most likely just still Southgate, but I do still like Boxic and Rickard. And Honcho's obviously there. I don't know if he's fit or not. I think he's low condition, to remember rightly. But yeah, they're a team where I'd want one from. Sunderland, the other one that still stand out. I know they've got injuries at the moment, but Phillips is just highly appealing. No one ever seems to go for him, like in a Discord and stuff. And he's obviously just fantastic. You know, home to Newcastle, away to Borough's not fantastic, but then home to Everton, away to Bradford, home to Arsenal, which is a good game. For me, it's still a very good game. Arsenal are open, away from home, and don't have good defenders, as we saw. So I wouldn't treat that as a bad game at all. Away to Watford, and then home to Man United, which is still a pretty bad game for them in 16. So they've got, you know, a fairly good run there, I think. And Libra still serves a purpose. You see, he's still chipping away at points. We said right at the beginning of the season, at 5.5 million, as long as this guy's playing, he is going to be value. And he chips in assists, he chips in goals every now and then. You know, he's kind of been underlooked now because we've got Wood, who's a million cheaper. But for those who don't want to go Wood, which a lot of people are saying they don't, Libra is definitely still an option. You know, he's part of that enabler gang which can help you to get Van Nistelrooy or whatever, or Veron, wherever you want. And he's definitely in the conversation. You know, Teal and Arca would still be in my conversation, and Tome and Issa are still really good picks from this point for me. Who else is there to talk about? I still like just having a Watford player, even though the games are pretty bad. I mean, they've got home Everton, away Ipswich, home Arsenal, away Leicester. That's a nice four. Then they have Man United, which is bad. Sunderland, which is okay. Chelsea, which is poor. But because the games are chaos, I think having a piece is okay. Just what piece do you have? Do you want to use a striker? Not really. Petkov tainted a bit now. Maybe not. So it really means, you know, someone like Pitcher, who you can't guarantee is even going to play. So it's just hard to find out where. But I'd like to, if I could, possibly have a piece there. And I think Spurs, the other team, which have got okay games, which is why people are going to Wood and stuff. You know, home Man City, away Coventry, home Blackburn, away Middlesbrough, home Newcastle, away Bradford, home Everton. I mean, that's pretty decent, isn't it? So I don't really see any reason not to have Wood and just leave him in there, to be honest, for that run. It's hard to argue against it, I think. But yeah, those are the main teams outside the top two that you'd really want covering, I think. You know, Chelsea as well. I did mention in the preview, but I forgot to mention here. Their run's just, again, great. And possibly, I don't know if this double's due to stay in 17, but if it is, then all the more good things. There's only two away games they've got until 17, which are away to Newcastle, away to Arsenal. all the rest of the games at home. Home Ipswich, home Bradford, home Leicester, home Bolton, home Watford. That's just such a good run. So yeah, I think as a minimum you want to have two Chelsea defenders, really. You know, I think most people are going to be on that anyway, so how much benefit you actually get from that is questionable. But I don't think you just go different because you know, you want to pick up points and go against the crowd there. I think that is the best option, to have two, maybe even three Chelsea defenders for that run. So that's certainly what, if I do wild cards, you know, Terry and Desailly are looking pretty likely to me there. And then Bolton and Villa are the only other two we really want to talk about. So Villa briefly, they've got a terrible game this week away to Leeds. But I think home to Liverpool, away to Coventry, home to Man City, away to Bolton, away to Newcastle, home to Middlesbrough, you know, up until 16, 17 away to Blackburn. It's not a terrible run, it's okay, and they're an okay team. So Hendry still serves a purpose there for me. I think you can still pick him comfortably. Rufus at 4.5, not been talked about, but he's been playing a lot. He's still on penalties, he's still a centre-back, he's still a cheap option. He's just grounding for cash. And I wouldn't touch Dublin or Balaban just in case, but obviously, you know, for the punters out there, Dublin's there. And Angel's just a nice, secure option if you just wanted to keep him there. A player that you can move to the likes of Boxic and Rickard and stuff and interchange. He's a decent price, so I think he's fine. And then we'll move back to Bolton, who, like I say, have just got this really interesting run. Home to Coventry, which is great. Away to Arsenal. Yeah, Arsenal are pretty bad, but it's away. So, yeah, not the best game. Home to Man City, another decent game. Away to Man United, terrible. Home to Villa, decent. Away to Chelsea, terrible. Home to Blackburn, away to Watford. So it's just those away games where generally you wouldn't bank on the teams to do anything. You know, wouldn't bank on Bolton players away from home doing anything anyway. So how much does it matter? I'm not sure. There could be one where you chop and change. I think they rotate perfectly with someone, but I noticed that Bradford seemed to rotate perfect with them at least for these 6 or 7 weeks. So could you come up with some solution there? It doesn't really seem to work, because Gardner and Pedersen are too expensive to probably rotate, aren't they? But maybe if you, and you don't ever want to bench either of them, so I'm probably talking nonsense, but for example, if you had like Jess and Wallace and you wanted to use two strikers or something crazy like that, you know, there's a rotation there potentially. Yeah, won't be touching that one. But yeah, how many, you know, if you are doing a wild card and you want a Man United defender, you want two Chelsea defenders, that's three premium defenders straight away, really. And then you're like, okay, do I want Southgate for Middlesbrough as well? Okay, now that's four. So suddenly, can I now go, okay, now I want Gardner because he looks a great option. I think of all those ones, although Gardner's great on some of those home games, like I say, do I want him for the away games? Maybe, maybe not. And do I want to play a premium back five? So something's got to give. Maybe you only go one Chelsea defender. Maybe you don't go with the Man United one. Those are the defenders I'd want, though, from those teams, alongside those cheapies of Bernard, Issa from Newcastle and Sunderland that are good. Maybe Rufus in the conversation, but I don't think there's too many other defenders out there. Tome, Tirico's still an option. Obviously, home to Watford in game week 11, Tirico, that's a very good game for him. And he's just a decent sit pick, isn't he? So he's still there, I suppose. There's not too many others outside that I'd be interested in, personally. And it's just what sort of structure do you want to go for? I'm not sure the five at the back, although it's great on paper, it does feel very dead teamish. You don't really want to end up transferring any of those defenders out, and then it limits you a lot what you can do. So if you do that, yeah, you're kind of set in your setup there, and then your ways probably having 3-4.5 million midfielders. Yeah, it's more a dead team style, I think, but maybe it is still the best. I'm not sure. Basically, I think four or five defenders is still the way to go. I want to say four or five good options that you're going to play every week. I think you could go cheap. Like there is an avenue to go, say, Atherton at 5 million, you know, cut corners, Issa at 4.5, you know, Bernard at 4.5, they obviously rotate perfectly. Got Tirico at 5, who looks good. You could go with a Bolton defender or wing-back because they've got decent home games for cheap. You know, they're there. The Rufus, as I've already mentioned, Weatherall's at 5. There are cheaper defenders that we can look at if you want to go that route and have that money up front. I think it can be done. It's not really what I've done in the past, though. So Everton defenders as well, who have been great. Some of their home matches are okay. In 13, they're home to Norwich, and in 15, they're home to Coventry. You know, they're away to Watford this week. It's only really the home to Man United game that's bad. 11 and then maybe 14 away to Liverpool. So I suppose they're there as well. You can tell I'm doing this ad hoc. I'm reading it as I'm doing it for the first time. I don't have any time to prep. So sorry about the scatter brain approach, but it is what it is. Literally just recording my thoughts pretty much. My heating's on too high as well, so let me turn this down. Freezing in this car before that. No, it's roasting. There we go. What else do I want to say? Yeah, midfielders are tricky. I think the main midfielders to think about on wildcard are, you know, I think Hendry's still in the conversation at six. I've said that before. I think Pedersen, very appealing, but then has those tricky away games. You've got Carbone, who just looks, or even Zenden, or Petit, or Lampard. I think any of those you could pick for this run and feel quite comfortable about it. Leeds, I think you can still go Aymar or Boya. Wouldn't touch the others. I think that's fine. Can't touch any Leicester, Liverpool, no. Man City, no. Wouldn't do that myself. Manchester United, yeah, I think Chadwick's definitely in the conversation, as is Varane. Still in the conversation. I think Johnston, Zapeda are still in the conversation. There's a lot of conversations going on. Jesus, how many times have I said that word? Sort myself out, Luke. Who else? Nolan's obviously great, 4.5. I've got some nice home games, Norwich coming up. I would say Thiel and Arca if they were fit, but they're not. Simon Davies is still in the conversation. There it is again. And then Watford, Petkov and Pitcher still there. Petkov hanging kind of by a thread, but I just think even if he does lose the odd set piece, he's still on penalties. He's still good and there's still chaos games, so he still could be worth it. That's pretty much it. I don't really have any other midfielders on my in my thoughts, though. Maybe I've missed someone. But those are the bulk of the guys that I'm thinking about. As for strikers on wildcard, yeah, I mentioned Angel can still do a job. Good Johnson, I suppose, has to be there. I've never really thought about him myself, but the games are good enough definitely to go there if you wanted to. He's just a tricky price, Good Johnson, so it's kind of like moving all, how much do you want to keep in the bank to move him up, or do you want to move him down? Bit of a strange one. Christie's still there because Everton have got the good home games, so can't discount him. Yeah, Viduka and Larsson not being fit doesn't help him, but he's still there. Obviously those guys are top tier. Yeah, Van Nistelrooy is still there. For me, I'm not guaranteed to go Van Nistelrooy. Like, forget this rep conversation. Like, even before the rep conversation, I said to myself this season, I'm not going to own Van Nistelrooy at that price. It's too much. I think the group think swayed me quite a lot here. With at the end of the day, the games are great. I can see why people go there. And then we get the added bonus of having Wood like dropped in our lap. So now it makes sense to get him. So yeah, he's not an automatic pick for me, though. He's not, because it's just still so crazy. It's a crazy price that can affect the rest of your team. You know, if you go Varane over him, that's a big saving. The same way if you go Larsson over Viduka, you can make your overall team better as a result. It can't be, you know, just washed away. You really need your captains to perform. You know, if you're paying for that Van Nistelrooy or you're paying for that Viduka, and you put the captain's arm on them, that's where the difference is made, isn't it? You need those guys to smash it. And obviously they can. But if they don't and their counterparts can get fairly close, and then you've afforded, say, you know, a 4 million defender, which I didn't even list on my list of wildcards. I still think Mills and stuff are still options. Some of the 4 millions, or to have a 4 million just sat there with plays, is fine. Maybe you can change that 4 million into a Gardner. They go up 2 million. I think it can make a big difference to your squad overall. So I'm still not sure what I'll do on Van Nistelrooy there. I'm sure I probably will end up going with him, but it's not certain. Yeah, Boxic, Rickard, still options for me. Still slightly favour Rickard, even though Selakovic may, people say, may affect him. I can't really see it. I still think those two are great. I love them. I think Rickard, you know, of all the strikers not in the top brackets, or, you know, at least more expensive than him, I think from his price down, Rickard is probably the most likely to score the most goals. You know, even catch up with Christie and stuff. I think, anyway. Who else is in the conversation? Oh, God, why do I keep saying that? Shearer's always there. So never leaves my thoughts. And Phillips and Libra are definitely there alongside Wood from the bottom teams. As much as I respect people going Tommy Smith, I probably wouldn't do it myself. So yeah, I think that covers everyone. That's not a huge amount of players, is it? You know, like anything, any fantasy game that we play, we usually end up narrowing it down to a pool of about 20 to 25 players there, and it's just about what structure you go with. And that's pretty much where I am. So like I say, nothing groundbreaking. I'm sure you guys are all on the same names. If there's a player you had in mind that I haven't mentioned, by all means reach out to me, message me, because it could be I just forgot. I'm just doing this off of a screenshot in my car, no prep, so maybe it just slipped my mind, or you know, maybe there's a reason I'm not thinking about them. So yeah, by all means reach out and I shall try to let you know. But yeah, a much longer one this week, I'm sure. What time is it? Hopefully I've been recording this, or I'm gonna go fucking spare. Okay, 40 minutes. Yeah, sorry about that, guys. But wildcard special, there we go, that covers that one. I'll see you on the next one. Good luck. Don't do as well as me, but you know, have fun, and I shall see you then. Bye bye.